Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
And since it is Wednesday, it's time to bring in Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, Meghna. And wasn't that an exceptional story?
I love that. That's
fantastic.
Absolutely right. It's a
beautiful
thing.
I love the laugh. I'd listen to it all day long.
In fact, it's stories like that that make me lament the fact that the Paralympics don't get as much attention as they do and deserve, or as they should or deserve to. I mean, they kick off today in Brazil. Is Brazil ready to host the Paralympics?
Well, up until very recently, I would have said that's a real good question. There was talk about closing some of the venues. They were running out of money. The ticket sales were terrible. And then, as frequently happens with Olympics and with Paralympics as well, there's some sort of burst toward the last moment. And so there have been an increase in ticket sales. And I heard one report that said the village where the Paralympians are staying is top-notch, and they're very happy.
Good.
I think that the dire predictions are perhaps somewhat over-exaggerated.
Well, that's good to know. And apparently a last-minute bailout for the Brazilian government.
Yeah, a lot of people probably will be seeing those games on free tickets. But that's not so strange. When my wife and I went to the Olympics in 2012 in London, we sat next to several people who were in the armed services in the U.S., and they had tickets that they'd been given by people who said, hey, we are grateful for your service. Here's tickets to the Olympics. And so on their leave, they were sitting watching the quarterfinals of men's basketball at the Olympics.
Not too shabby.
Right.
All right, well, let's move on to football. Apparently, Tom Brady's face is on the lighthouse at Gillette Stadium. Four-game suspension, Deflategate, blah, 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 blah. There's actually another football story that you brought to our attention that I really want to talk about. Two mothers of deceased former youth football players, Pop Warner players, they filed a lawsuit in California that also names USA Football, the NFL's Youth Development Program, and the National Operating Committee on Standards for Athletic Equipment, all because they say their children died posthumously they discovered that these young people had CTE.
Same thing that they found in the overwhelming majority of the brains of former NFL players that have been examined posthumously. This is quite a story, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going, of course. The lawsuit may end up being a class action suit, and of course that depends on the judgment of judges, and it depends on how many other parents of former youth football players decide that they want to have their names associated with this lawsuit. If it does end up being a class action lawsuit, it's hard for me to imagine how youth football, as it's presently constituted, could continue.
Yeah.
But they have, Pop Warner and other youth football leagues have settled individual lawsuits in the past successfully, just as the NFL did before that became a class action suit. We're going to have to keep an eye on this, see how it develops.
So the question of concussions, I mean, we did a story a couple years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, after five young players in a Pop Warner game in central Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. In one game, five of them had concussions and got knocked out. So there was a lot of concern about, about equipment and about how much young kids were being pushed to play through the pain and that kind of thing. But I don't think I've seen or heard of young people having CTE until this case.
Right. And I think the thing that distinguishes this case is the two men whose brains have been examined were only 24 and 25. They had not played a lot of football after Pop Warner. These were not guys who played D1 college football,
right,
and then went into the NFL. I think one of them quit after his freshman year in high school. So there may very well be a case for the damage having been done when they were quite young.
Yeah.
And if that is, in fact, the case, as I say, it may very well change the face of youth football.
Well, this is a story we'll definitely be keeping our eyes on and following up with at Radio Boston and Only a Game, I'm sure. In the last couple of minutes that we have, Bill, let's move on. We didn't actually talk about this last week, so let's make up for that error and talk about tennis, because the U.S. Open's women's and men's semifinals are underway tomorrow and Friday. Any surprises?
Well, I guess it's always a surprise when Rafael Nadal doesn't make it into at least the semifinals.
Good point.
But I think all eyes are on Serena Williams. If she does manage to win this tournament, and everybody from whom I've heard has said that she's playing brilliantly right now, she would become the most accomplished female tennis player in history in terms of number of major tournaments won. And it's fun, isn't it, to be able to say, I was there to see the best, the most accomplished. It's the way people talk about having seen Ted Williams hit in the major leagues or, you know, seeing whoever seems to be the best.
She's going for 23. This would be number 23.
And this would be the record breaker. That's right.
Wow.
And it's quite extraordinary. And for the most part, you know, has done it with really quite exceptional grace. So it's been fun to watch, and I'm rooting for her.
Well, let's close out today by talking about the Red Sox for a bit. They're back in first place in the AL East,
tied
with Toronto.
Tied anyway, yes.
Okay, tied with Toronto. So how's the team looking, even though their pitching may still not be so
great? I think they look great in this division. That's the problem. I mean, you look at some of the other divisions and the leads that the really good clubs in Major League Baseball have established. The Cubs are 15 and a half games ahead.
Yeah.
They're in first place. The fact that the Red Sox haven't been able to put any distance between themselves and a couple of other teams is a little discouraging, and most of the people who are smarter than I am about baseball say the Blue Jays are the likely winner in this division. Hey, they're hanging around, and it's September.
Not too bad.
You got to be optimistic.
Bill Littlefield's the host of NPR's Only a Game. You hear it on Saturdays on WBR at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Good to have you, Bill.
Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be back. This is Radio Boston.